belt hats are also sale priced, plus a complete line of candy leather products, the Leather Barn JFB Tack and Western Shop in the Pantown Plaza.
Chemical abuse. Sometimes it's hardest to see in people closest to us. At St. Cloud Hospital, we bring families back together through Recovery Plus, our chemical dependency center. Our senior program is the only one of its kind in Minnesota, specifically designed for people 55 and older, people who have faced many challenges, people who are now dealing with a problem they have no answer for, a problem that sometimes requires adult children to intervene. Recovery Plus, for senior chemical dependency programs. Phone 1-800-742-HELP, a division of St. Cloud Hospital, providing specialty care closer to home.
5 minutes in front of 12 noon now, wrapping our special segment up. We've been visiting this morning with Jim Painter and Diane Salzer from St. Cloud Hospital about the healthcare shortage. You know, whenever you talk about shortages, I guess you perhaps get these mental pictures of real crisis situations. How about in central Minnesota? Are patients being adversely affected? Is there a negative impact here, or what's the impact?
No, there's not been a major negative impact in our area. Not when we compare it to situations we've heard about throughout the country, where patients have to wait 4 or 5 hours in ERs, or if nursing units have to close because they're unable to staff their units. Our shortage is of a different type in that our hospital is growing and expanding in specialty areas and in outpatient areas, and subsequently our shortage is to find the nurses to staff those new innovative areas. We have not had situations where patients were turned away. We've gotten close a couple of times. We got close to the panic button, but didn't have to press it.
Mm-hmm. Well, St. Cloud Hospital has also taken a very proactive response to this. The nursing shortage on a national basis in some areas is quite critical. And we hope to be able to market ourselves and to talk to people and to keep on top of our needs and to do the things that will provide the long-term response and the solutions.
Okay,
so we don't have that problem.
Yeah, some of those solutions being what?
Well, being some of the things we've talked about, mm-hmm. the tuition reimbursements for LPNs, the collaborations with the different technical schools and the four-year programs going out to the schools, to the high schools, elementary schools, colleges, all of those things. There's not one thing that we're doing that you can say, that's going to fix the nursing shortage. We're doing, hitting a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in a kind of a fortunate position that we know that healthcare trends tend to start on the east and west coasts simply because of the demographics of the country. And so we have a watchful eye out there and take their leads, a lot of things that they have done that have worked and have tried a lot of innovative things ourselves. Some of the things are as big as scholarships for high school students, down to, like Diane says, just taking the time to talk somebody on the phone or meet with them, tour the hospital, if they want us to see what it's all about. It's as broad and as narrow as that.
Mm-hmm. Phone lines are open for a final call if you're interested, 252-5852. How long a term thing is this going to be? Are we going to be in a shortage mode for a long time? Seems that for a while there, you were hearing, there aren't enough teachers, and then there was a glut, and then there's not enough computer people, and then everybody was rushing into computer science, and boom, we had just these mass amounts of people on the job market. Is there a danger that that's going to happen here, or are you always going to have jobs for folks?
We think we'll always have jobs for folks simply because the trends you mentioned had a little bit different background to them. Number one, the teaching shortage that became a glut was a result of a decreasing population, so the student volumes decreased. One of the problems we're facing in the shortage situation now is that we have an increasing older population, and that the acuity, we call it, or the how critically ill the patients are as they enter a hospital is increasing. And subsequently, we know that there's going to be this need for a longer period of time. As you relate it to the science and technology areas, you can talk about flattening of markets and all those other business strategies that they used. But there again, our market is increasing, if you will. I hate to call it markets, but we have an older population and that acuity is rising. So it's not the same situation as those. And subsequently, we feel that the shortage will last a longer period of time.
Yeah, just in relation to that, Erica, in 1975, the average hospital used 50 nurses for every 100 patients, compared to today, which uses 91 nurses for every 100 patients. So even though we may have the same number of patients, the patients are sicker. They're requiring more nurses. They're requiring more nurses in different areas. So we have a lot more need for nurses in those areas and to continue.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Jim, Diane, thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks
for having us.
And thank you for listening to our special segment brought to you by St. Cloud Hospital. Nancy Fox, the producer of the program. I'm Erica Erickson. Have a good afternoon.
And this is AM 1240 WJON St. Cloud, where we've got you talking.
Good day at high noon, 79 degrees. Bill Henderson reporting this news, brought to you by Mexican Village of St. Cloud, Plaza Park Bank, and Automation Supply Company. We have a few scattered showers occurring along the Iowa-Minnesota border, south of Fairmont, moving east at 20 miles an hour. There has been no identification yet, nor cause of death, of a young man whose body was found face down near the WJON broadcast tower in East St. Cloud yesterday. The man was discovered by a worker mowing grass east of the tower just after 3 o'clock. St. Cloud Police Captain Len Smallwood said his department is receiving calls and inquiries. The man's identity has yet not been established.
16 to 24 years old, 6 foot, shoulder-length brown hair, left ear was pierced. We have a weight approximately 140 to 160 pounds, wearing shorts. I guess they call them jams now. They're multicolored, green, red, white, blue, and orange, with, of course, a light blue T-shirt, white Nike sneakers, and white sweat socks.
And Smallwood said foul play is not suspected at this time.
I don't believe at this point that we suspect foul play, Bill. I think perhaps it was just a fall.
St. Cloud Police Captain Len Smallwood. Stearns County authorities received $100,000 from the state today. It'll help in the search for Jacob Wetterling. The boy was abducted near his St. Joseph home last October. A massive search effort failed to turn up the boy. But Sheriff Charlie Graff says calls are still being received.
Well, we still get calls in here on a lot of lookalikes from all over the United States, Canada, Hawaii, you name it, even Europe. We get leads from over there. So it's worldwide. I think it's one of the largest manhunts that's ever been on in the history of the state of Minnesota, going even back to the time of the Lindbergh kidnapping in the 1930s.
Philip Lewis Cole, accused of killing a Hutchinson policeman, has fired his attorney, saying he wants to represent himself. The judge presiding in the case in Dakota County District Court in Hastings recessed the trial yesterday after hearing the request. Governor Rudy Perpich is in Worthington today. He's making the southwestern city capital for a day. The governor says rural resurgence will be the theme of his visit. A boy from Becker was injured in a car bicycle accident in Sauk Rapids 6:30 Monday night. Listed in critical condition at St. Cloud Hospital is 9-year-old Christopher Audette. Two bicyclists were hurt, one seriously, when their bikes collided on University Bridge in St. Cloud about 3 Monday afternoon. Police Sergeant Calvin Keena said one of the bikes was eastbound, the other westbound on the same side of the bridge in the bike lane. Listed in serious condition at St. Cloud Hospital is 22-year-old Lance Olson, 1514 14th Street Southeast. The other rider, 23-year-old Roy Denke of 530 16th Street South, was treated and released at St. Cloud Hospital. At 12:03, the temperature 79.
Now an update from ABC News. I'm Bill Deal. What's going on along the Iraq-Kuwait border? U.S. intelligence sources tell ABC News that as many as 25,000 Iraqi troops are massing, and Kuwait has also moved forces into the area. The Pentagon, meanwhile, isn't commenting on reports U.S. warships have gone on alert in the Persian Gulf because of this situation. Iraq's President Saddam Hussein, considered a bully in the Persian Gulf, is unhappy because Iraq is pumping too much, or Kuwait is pumping too much oil and driving the price down. Still no budget agreement. President Bush met for 2 hours this morning with congressional leaders from both parties. A consumer health group charges that state medical boards fail to take adequate action to discipline incompetent or unethical doctors. Parts of Alaska filled with smoke from fires that have now burned more than 1 million acres of forest and tundra. They have disrupted air and ground travel. President Bush's choice of David Souter for the Supreme Court now heads for Senate confirmation hearings. Meanwhile, not much known about the 50-year-old Souter, but his mother, who's in a nursing home, says that as a son, he couldn't be better. Bill Deal, ABC News.
Order order a seafood salad at Mexican Village and get a complimentary glass of sangria. Now during the summer, when people want to eat light, the Mexican Village has the perfect meal. A seafood salad with shrimp, crab, and other seafood delicacies piled.
Oh, that's, I forget, or I don't know when the Celesters bought the property. At the time of the construction of the pipe, the Crakes had initiated a lawsuit against the city to alleviate part of the problem. That is when the initial construction went in, as I understand it, the construction for the catch basin and the first section of the pipe, if I may. I don't believe that was assessed. And I don't believe that it was assessed against the other 54 homes which benefited from the drainage. What we are specifically asking is that the council authorize the tap into the catch basin at the expense of the Harpers, and that they be allowed to rescue what they can of the equity in their house in that fashion.
I don't have any problem with that at all, but I don't think it's fair for Celestis to pay $1,500 for the continuation of the pipe, and the Harpers declined to do so, and now they want to hook into it, my understanding, without paying any fee at all. You know, I guess I don't have any problem with what you want to do, as long as the Celestis have a chance to be reimbursed for a portion of the deal. If the Harpers are going to use the pipe just like the Celestis did, then I guess it would be my feeling that they ought to pay something for that.
Well, I would disagree in the context of, obviously, in the context of the...
unfortunately, I get the vote on the
Yes, sir, you do indeed. You do indeed. And I believe that fair consideration for the grant of the easement in the first place, and if the extension of the pipe was necessary to carry the water past the drainage field, the septic system, or whatever of the Celestras, that may or may not have anything to do with the original issue, which is still carrying the water from the road out of the driveway on down. At this point in time, at least, that does not increase or create any additional burden on the Celestras. They have taken the means they thought necessary to carry the water which was going there past their property down to the river. And I don't think it's unreasonable for the Harpers to do this construction. And they will not be adding to the burden of the Celestras. And in fact, they will now be attempting to, they will now be realizing some of the consideration for which they gave the easement in the first place. Yes, sir. The easement that those two property owners gave to the city. Mrs. Harper just mentioned to me that the next door neighbor, Mrs. Celestra, has noted the erosion on top of the drainage easement, and which may be, I don't know if it is or is not, or is tending to start eroding onto their land again, and it would be a benefit to the Celestras if we could tap into the this system.
That's fine with me. I mean, I can't speak for the council, but, you know, if the Celestras don't have any objection to it, I don't have any objection to it. But I don't know if you contacted them.
I have not contacted them to... determine their needs, and I don't.
He spoke to me in the driveway the other day and asked me what we were going to do to try and get the water between the houses, because obviously the pipe isn't handling because it's really with the pipe. And I told her what we were planning to do, and she thought that would be a good solution for us to put the drain pipe in our yard and back into the pipe.
Council, that we should have a letter from the Celestras to indicate that. counsel, you got any questions?
I only will say that their agreement to allow the hookup into that system does not in any way obligate the city to provide that system will handle any and all stormwater or whatever they choose to pump into that system. Because we're not designing the system that they are installing. And just like we were talking earlier here with the engineer about our increase in our sewer bill in St. Paul this past month, we have no way of knowing what types of groundwater they'll be pumping into that system. So I have no idea as a member of the council what he's designing that system to carry to that pipe. So if the Celestas are in favor and their Bogart's of allowing that path to occur, I'm not committing the city in any way, shape, or form that system is going to handle what the carpet adds to it. So we're going to be back here a year from now because the pipe can't handle their additional drainage, then I would be in favor of looking at a storm sewer system for that whole neighborhood. And I might add, Bob, at this moment, none of this should ever be considered as an assessment for all futures, current and gut. Because the only way you're ever going to correct it is completely, you know, curb and gutter. And that's going to get everybody up on top of the hill. There's no way you can get around it.
Yes, sir. Be that and be history as it may, we are not now asking the city to guarantee the efficacy of this. We're trying to alleviate the water which is escaping the system that you did put in there. We are not, we have not asked and are not asking for anything more than that. We are not threatening any litigation. And I don't want you to feel that I am. I'm just asking to be allowed to tap into the sucker and to recoup what they can.
Well, yeah, I was just looking at the old minutes here and from the 23rd of March, 1987. Lester informed the council that he had no problem with giving the city access to his property. He would sign any waiver that the city asked. He also indicated that they'd be willing to participate in the cost of extension of the pipe. Ms. Harper stated that the pipe was not on her property and the city would not have to go on her property to extend the pipe and that she would not sign a release. She indicated that the extension of this pipe would not benefit her property. Now I hear you saying you changed your mind.
No, sir, I didn't change my mind on that. You're talking about the extension of the lower end of that pipe.
Yeah.
You're talking about carrying water further on down past the Celestas property. The Harpers gave their due. The Harpers gave their easement several years before the Celestas came in here. The extension of that pipe didn't add to the Harpers' benefit. They still weren't getting the benefit that we're trying to get now. It isn't carrying away from the lower end. It's getting the water from the upper end, which is escaping the system on the upper end,
yeah,
not carrying away the stuff on the bottom,
well,
sir.
It's kind of tough when you don't have the lower end to make the top end work, isn't
it? Well, apparently now we've got it. And perhaps that's...
Yeah, you do. Perhaps...
Well, no, sir. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that. Years ago when the easement was given, I believe it was run all the way down. The easement went the entire distance that was thought necessary at that time. Both Craig's and Celestra's, Craig's and Harper's, gave that easement. And the Harper's gave that easement to alleviate the burden of the lawsuit so that the city could settle the lawsuit that the neighbors had brought.
But we're talking about a pipe, not an easement. The pipe is different.
Well, the pipe is within the easement. Without the easement, you can't have the pipe.
If you're going to hook in above the celestial, for part of it, you pay $1,500 to get that out of the problem that we had back then.
then don't you think it's only fair that he gives us a letter that he doesn't mind to use it, or he pays, or they pay part of what he paid?
Roger, I guess the point is that they both would have went along with it 3 years ago. They probably both could have got bumped down for maybe $1,000 a piece, but instead Harper's didn't go in, so Selectus ended up paying $1,500. Well, if we let these people come in and not pay for any of that extension at all, Harper's could be upset with the city because we charged them $1,500 for it, and we're not charging Harper's anything for the extension.
Selectus.
I mean, yeah. That's the city's position.
I understand what you're saying. And perhaps, you know, as you say, if they would have both gone into it, perhaps the area on top might have gotten taken care of at the same time. It wasn't. The Celestras put in the $1,500 to take care of that water problem on the bottom by paying that assessment. The Harpers are asking to do something on their property now, to paying probably more than $1,500 to carry that water. Ultimately, the burden and the cost on both of them is going to be the same. Different time, different end of the pipe. But
the problem is now, and I guess always has been, is that the whole area needs a storm sewer. Doesn't need any blacktop flumes or any pipes or any catch basins. It needs a storm sewer. The whole area. I think that's been represented from day one. That it should be, it's mentioned right here in the minutes again, that to solve the problems in the area was a major project. It would require storm sewer to be assessed to everyone within the drainage basin. That's what needs to be done.
Now, sir, until the city chooses to exercise its discretion and do that,
well,
and spread the burden, then we need to deal with it. The neighbors have had to deal with it. The Harpers have to deal with it. And I hear what you're saying on the current status.
Being learned in the law, you know that there's two ways that these things come about. One is by petition for the utility from those affected by the assessment. 35% of the people who be assessed can present a petition to the city council, and then all you need is a simple majority to initiate the project. To initiate the project on its own, which the city can do, requires a 4/5 vote of the council. Might or might not get in the situation. But that's, you know, that's the way the system works. So I don't think it's fair for you to say to the city that you people should be doing something about this. The Harpers are citizens. They have a right. If the neighbors are upset about it, as you've represented, they can go to see the neighbors. They can go door to door, ring the doorbell, so we'll give them a form. They can make it out and bring it in. The council will present the or consider the petition. We do that all year. I mean, not all year, we do it every year. They just, there's 6 or 7 different projects going on right now that have been petitioned for by the city and or by the citizens, which we're doing.
Sure. I understand all of that,
including
sir.
Including the storm sewer project on the east side.
And if next year or the year after, 35% of the folks around there decide that they want a petition for it and a storm sewer system is put in, they might have a worthless catch basin sitting in the middle of the driveway.
That's true.
But in the meantime, again, we're asking for the permission to tap into that particular catch basin and deal with this particular problem.
Sid, you got something comment on this? Then we'll try to move on here.
I just wanted to interject so that you refresh your mind as to what happened in 1987. Initially, there was a petition by the Celestials for storm sewer in that area, and I did a study that would have alleviated the problem, not solved the problem, but alleviated the problem for those two homeowners. And I presented the report to the council. It was a cost of $12,339. I have a copy of my report. And equally split, whatever assessment was chosen would have been equally split between the two properties, because there was a system that was proposed at that time to be extended up and pick up the water as it comes down the driveway on the Harper property. And we had a hearing on that particular proposal, and the Harpers were in opposition to that at that point in time. The next step then was to attempt to come up with a plan that would alleviate the condition to a certain extent for the Celestis property. That, at that time then, is where the extension was put on at a cost of approximately $6,000. Of that $6,000, $1,500 was assessed to the Celestis, none to the Harper, and the city picked up the rest of the tax year. So that's how we got to that point. I mean, there was an initial proposal that I made to the council in reaction to the one petition that just be installed, and that would have alleviated the problem for both property owners.
So is that pipe size large enough to pick up the Harper's water?
That pipe sizing, I think, came from a court order. So that pipe sizing is based on court decision.
I'm not sure if it would have done exactly the same thing, but I believe your initial estimate and look at it was about $2,000-some-odd for the mutual problem back in 1968. Inflation is a wonderful thing.
Okay, what do you want to do with this, Councilman?
I guess my feelings are if they can get a letter from the Celestis that say they don't mind the step-up test payment, and they'll sign the waiver of responsibility to the city, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, does that agree with everybody?
Same type of waiver that the Celestis signed?
Yeah, we should probably have a motion to that effect. If we can, if a letter can be obtained either by you people or us from the Celestis saying that they have no objection to you looking into that, we will not object. Also a waiver from the Harpers.
I won't say yes, that second part sounds wonderful until I see that, but thank you.
I just wanted to point out one thing. I'm making that ordinance effective January 1st, 1991. That for a couple of reasons. That would give the businesses that have been in the machine all the time to work with them. And then also, please think about as it's going to affect.
Is this going to outlaw them even in the factories?
Yes.
I'm sympathetic with the cause. but I have some problems with government interfering in private enterprise. Kind of bugs me a little bit. And, particularly in the case of the factories where I'm convinced, like at the paper mill, where there's no one there under 18 years of age for the city or any other governmental agency to stick its nose in their business and say, you can't do this, it bothers me. That's my old conservative nature, I guess. I have a terrible philosophy that the best government is the least government, so. Anyway.
Carl, do you want to suggest some rewording there? Do you want me to come up with something different for the next meeting and go to another first reading, or?
On that machine, as far as the cigarette machine in a public place, we'll have that completely covered. But with conversations within the manufacturing place, they felt that it was in-home, in-house decision for them to either take it out or leave it at their choice.
Well, one did and one didn't.
And I guess I can't collaborate anymore at this time.
Any other comments, Council? You want to... Anything you want to suggest to the administrator be changed?
I guess I feel like the mayor does in a way. I don't have any problem with it in the two bars, so to speak, that we're talking about where minors can frequent and can purchase, but I guess... I do have a concern about in an area where there are not miners, in particular the factories, and since there is discussion about removing them voluntarily within those facilities going on at this time, I guess I would have reservations about ordering them from those private industries.
Okay, is there any other comments along that line? Along any line?
How do we restrict that, I guess, by place of business, not hiring people under a certain age? I mean, because there's a lot of businesses around that the control of themselves that may have minors or under 18 working there.
I think to be on the safe side, I should probably ask the city attorney for some wording.
You can't specify which business can have them.
No. Maybe, someone over here, Emmons, I think, mentioned in any public business, maybe, or public...
Any building that's accessible to the general public. Now, we know that we can't get into Champion tonight.
Oh, I don't think you can get into Zurich either. They'll throw you out of there for wandering around, too, so...
Well, 6 yards walking Champion all the time.
Yeah, you get frisked when you go in there, so both places, so...
I think perhaps a lot of people don't know.
Well, I don't know, like Samson, do they?
They have a...
They don't have any.
They don't have any?
No. Free.
No, okay.
Well, if that's your consensus, okay. Then, Sue, why don't you call Stan, and surely you can work on some language there that will cover that. Okay. Very good.
So our next reading will be another
first. Is that going to be a substantial enough change to cause it to be...
There again, I'll ask Stan.
Check Stan.
I'm not sure.
Minor ones we can make, but substantial ones we can't, right? All right. Item 6, consideration of issuance of a 3-2 beer license for the Church of St. Francis Xavier for Fall Festival.
August 19th.
No. No, this was just a reading by the council, so no public input. We appreciate you. Some rock, and at least one other occasion, etc. So they are suggesting that apparently the city has no ordinance regarding blasting. Sid tells me that he visited with the city of St. Cloud. And I guess they don't specifically either, do they? They've got a an explosive ordinance, which merely says about what's said here, that you need to notify the fire chief. And yeah, I'm sure that they do have the city engineer present. So, and that what they're asking here is an ordinance include proper permits for use of explosive materials. I think St. Cloud has that, didn't they, in there? So where is it? Oh, Sue, you got it right there. And city fire chief be informed of the location. The city police be informed of the presence of explosive in the city. And I guess the only thing that we've got here that apparently St. Cloud doesn't have is, and the city engineer to be present for all blasting that they have, is that residents within 1,000 feet of the blast site be notified prior to the blast. Apparently St. Cloud doesn't have that. Geez, it looks good to me, all except 1,000 feet. That's a long way.
Well, there was 500 feet flying over our house and into the middle of Fifth Street.
Yeah, but I would like to think that if the city engineer was present and everything was being done according to, you know, if you throw a rock 1,000 feet, you're going to blow the guy's house up right by it. I mean, and 1,000 feet is, boy, that's from here to the other side of the river almost. You know, that's a long way. Yeah. Well, that'd be the only thing, you know, 500 feet maybe, Sid.
I would say 500.
Yeah.
That last bit of rock that was blasted, that went about 300 feet, plus it's some 6 inches in the ground.
Yeah.
And I did find out.
Did you find it?
And they
took
pictures where it was at.
Sure. Well, you know, it looks fine to me if we could live with 500 feet. Sid, is that more reasonable?
Where you were at, that would be, that'd be about 250.
Yeah. Okay. Because 300, you know, you could be all the way down to past the Lutheran Church notifying, or all over 2.5. Jim Shears would be within 1,000 feet, probably over to Wendy Hennessy. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
if that's your...
too restrictive, they won't do it, that's the problem. You're better off putting it as reasonable,
then they'll probably be more cooperative and it'll be easier to do and stuff. Well, if that's fine with everybody, why don't we have Sue work on an ordinance for us, and then we'll present it next time.
So then we'll have a specific ordinance for blasting.
Yeah, we'll work with St. Cloud's, and she'll talk city attorney. We'll come up with a specific ordinance.
Now, having the city engineer present on all blasts, I can see where that affects the city project, where the city engineer is hired, the contractor, the subcontractor. What about in the case where they come out and they're gonna have to blast those lots and put houses in? Does the city engineer have to be present on every blast for every house that goes in that addition?
Yeah, but
the ordinance doesn't
isn't going to say, that's a good point. The ordinance isn't yelling city projects, obviously, but you're saying when they're going to blast in for those others. Well,
Sid mentioned when we were out there, chances are you're probably going to have a less reputable blasting company doing the lots than you do doing the
city work. Well, can't you kind of put something in the second? I don't know. They have to have some kind of license.
No, apparently not. Apparently not.
Because when I did talk to OSHA, this Jim Cannon from Brainerd that covers our area, he did say that we have no say until the aftermath, unless one of our children was
dead. As soon as you kill somebody, then they come out. Yeah.
Unless your employee would complain. But the only thing he did say, he will get the probable cause. And when I told him the story, he was going to make a trip down here and check out the area because he felt that, you know, he just said, "Oh, SK Roof," and he knew the company.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, and he said that there shouldn't be no debris at all because the pads themselves.
That's true.
That they use, there should be nothing, no matter what kind of car you're using. So But I was just curious if they had to have a license.
They swear.
Well, I think we should, I don't know, that's an interesting point, what we're going
to
do about it.
If we have to charge them back for Sid's time, you know, the contractor's going to have to be charged back.
But it doesn't make much sense for us to pass an ordinance to do it for the city projects and then let them blast 20 feet away for their own, you know, and because they're going to hit the kids, they're going to hit the kids privately as well as the city, you know.
They all have to get permission. I know you're going to probably do something like that, but if you're talking about keeping quiet and get my time to spend,
let's do it for everything. We'll draft something up here and
I don't want to be negative on this, Mayor, but Sid pretty generous. I'm sure he's going to get paid by the city. I don't know how sure Sid is about being paid by the private contractor.
Well, what we can do, that may be something Sue can draft in the ordinance that if we want to do it that way, that they're going to have to come and get a permit. And when they get the permit, we're going to charge him for the permit or some way and enough to pay him. Just like the building inspector.
We hold services or don't turn on the water or something.
We won't give them, that's right. We won't
do something like that to make sure that Sid gets paid or whoever the engineer is.
Sure. We can do that. The same thing with him as a building inspector. Like,
otherwise, right. Sid will sue us because we've got an ordinance that says that he's got to be on every job and he doesn't get paid.
Well, but it's like the deal where these ex-guys who dig in the streets. Sue gives them a permit now to dig in the street, and if they don't restore it the way Brad thinks they ought to and whatever, then we don't give them any more permits to dig in the streets. Sure. So then they're out of business in Sartell. In a growing community like that, they don't want to lose that business, so they won't do it. We'll work something out.
I guess we wouldn't be here if, you know, we've had blasting going on for years and city projects, and we wouldn't be here talking about this if it weren't for this particular set of incidents. And if we need something like this to protect the neighborhood, so be it.
Well, yeah. Usually, you know, what's the old saying? It's a shame to burn down the forest to get one bad bear. That's what you don't want to do, you know. But
like OSHA said, and the mayor will verify this. You ask for traffic lights. No one's been killed there yet.
And we'll give you one.
Stay
along. Okay, we'll come up with something there that'll work out.
I think so.
Very good. All right.
So moved.
Motion by Bob, seconded by Hemmons. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned. Do you want to visit with me or something there? I see you were
patiently waiting.
Now, you're not crazy about the idea of just enforcing it straight across the board for everybody. Describe your feelings on that, I guess.
Well, at the present time, we only have two restaurants and bar combinations that have cigarette vending machines. And the Dessert Corporation and Champion International have vending machines in their factories. The group that would like to see us ban them, they're asking it to be a total ban of vending machines distributing cigarettes, period, within the city limits. I guess that my own, you know, it's illegal to sell the cigarettes to people under 18 years of age. So that's basically the idea behind doing away with the vending machines, because people under 18 can get to them. But in the Zurich and in Champion, no one is allowed in there under 18 years of age, and I would think it very difficult for minors to be purchasing cigarettes inside those factories. So that bothers me, I guess, that we would legislate that out. It's just an interference of government into with adults' right to do as they choose is really what it amounts to. Because if no minors are in there, we're not talking minors. Now we're talking adults, mm-hmm. And that was my basic problem with it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that both Zurich and Champion have indicated to us that they think that within a short period of time, maybe a year or 2 years, that they will probably on their own get rid of the vending machines. So I guess I would like to see that happen. I don't have any problem, I guess, with the two bar restaurants, but I do with the factories.
As I change tape here, I just need to turn this over because